Just Hosafa, somebody asked yesterday when we were talking about this question about the chassan who accidentally did kiddushin with his sister's ring instead of his own ring, and the question whether the sister could give it to him unknowingly and the like. And somebody, I forgot who it was, but somebody on this side of the room brought up the question, is it important that the chassan know what he is being mekadesh with specifically? Remember exactly who it was. Somewhere over here asked that question. So we mentioned yesterday that we didn't even get up to that within that context because there's not even an awareness that there was a transaction there. But I happened to discover in conversation last night with someone that Rasha Weiss has a tshuva about that as well, a separate tshuva, which another kind of crazy case that happened. That there was a situation, for whatever reason, that there was a suffix as to whether the ring that was being used for kiddushin was actually effective, in the sense that whether it was really the property of the chassan, whether it belonged to someone else, there was a suffix about it, but for whatever reason, they wanted to use this ring. So there was a suggestion that there should be two rings, and that should say, Hareyat Mekudeshes Li V'Tabos Elu, something like that, that these rings should be together, the Kiddushin, and the idea being that Rimanav Shach, or not just much, but hopefully one of them at least, should work, and then even if it turns out that the ring that's the emotionally significant ring isn't effective halachically, but the other one should be, so it should work like that. That was the suggestion. So Rasha Weiss did not like that suggestion either, and he made reference to a Gemara, which I put on today's list if you had a chance to see it, at the Kedushin Daf Ches, where the Gemara essentially, it's a whole back and forth from the Gemara, but what emerges is that if someone says to a woman that she should be Mekudeshes to him with a mana, then it has to be the entire mana, has to be given in order for the Kedushin to be effective. So there, even though there's a Shava Pruta that's included in what he did give, still it's not going to work if the statement covers the entire package. So too here, said Rav Asher, makes a reference to both rings as the instruments of Kedushin, and one of them is problematic, one of them isn't really his, that's not going to be a solution. So again, I don't remember who asked the question yesterday, but that perhaps addresses that element of that question that came up. So I just wanted to add that. So now to focus, again, you know, this is all about responses to letters to the editor today. So in terms of the question about focusing a little bit on Ika Tegra Nasa Sanegra, so let's indeed try to keep that within the context of our sugya specifically. So let's look at the Gemara again and how the Gemara mentions it. So here on Hegemon Aleph, just to make some observations from the Mefarshim, how do we know that a shtar works? Didenu makasef she'emotzi machnes shtar shemotzi. So kasef doesn't divorce and yet marries. Shtar, which does divorce, so about that should marry. So the Gemara prefers that. No malakasef she'ein pogam behek to ma'aseh she'ini. Tomer shtar she'ein pogam behek to ma'aseh she'ini. Dechsev nasek kasef kam lo. So that's the real source, is the hekesh there that we find between Havaya and Yitzia. So then ask the Gemara, so Vakishnami Yitzia LaHavaya, the other direction, let's go backwards, from Havaya Bekesav, Yitzia Bekesav. See, here's what the Gemara says, wait, no, that's not going to work. Amar Havaya, Yomru, Kesef Machnes, Kesef Potzi, what? Kesef could do both things, magic money. Can't be Sanegur Yasa Kategor. What the same thing that creates the divorce can create the marriage. The defense attorney is going to become the accuser now. So Ihachi Shtar Nami Omer Shtar Motzi Shtar Machnes Kategor Yasa Sanegur. So why don't we say the same thing by Shtar? How could that work in both directions? So Mile Dahai Shtar Luchud, but Mile Dahai Shtar Luchud. So the words tell you what's going on, and that's not going to have the same problem. So Havanami, hi Kaspulachot, hi Kaspulachot. So okay, so why don't we say the same thing about the money? And the conclusion is Tiva Mihu Chagru. The coin is still one coin, So that's not going to help us. So just to help us understand a little bit how this concept is being introduced here of Kategoros and Agoros, so just to mention a few points from the Rishonim and the Acharonim. So first of all, isn't this Havmin about the coin? Like we mentioned this yesterday, right? It's a little bit of a funny question. You can tell that the coin is the same. You can tell that it's not such a powerful question to say, well, Shtar only gets saved from being a Kategoros and Agor problem because of the words. So the coin should have a problem? No, the coin also shouldn't have a problem because there's an incoming coin and an outgoing coin. And the Gemara says, like you would have thought from the outset, no, a coin is a coin. It's not differentiated at all. So why should there be Havamina that the coin was different? Nani?
Well, maybe physically different coins, like Shtar and Lucian and Gidin, they have different things written on it, even though they might be in the same category as Shtar. So to Kesef, even though you have this coin and that coin, they're two separate entities.
But what's written on the coin? Like, how is the coin going to indicate in any one way that it's different?
Well,
two separate objects, but how are they going to indicate that there's any...
No, so I think the Havamina is that the Havamina is that physically they just have to be different. There doesn't have to be any difference with them. They could look exactly the same, mm-hmm. but since this Kesef was used for being the Kategor, this Kesef could be used as the Sanegor.
But is that going to hold up? We haven't got in yet, we will in a few minutes, into what the other examples and shots of Kategor and Sanegor issues.
I'm just saying the Havamina.
The Havamina is that as long as it's two separate objects, even if they're identical, that we should save us?
Yeah.
Seems like a kind of a weak Havamina, but again, we're a little confused by some of the Havaminas here anyway, but... Okay, hope for maybe a little bit more. Kiva, you want to?
I was just thinking, like maybe something we said yesterday with like if you have two different rings that are the same, more or less the same thing, we still would say that there's an issue in giving one ring versus the other. So maybe it could be like the Havamina is that like when you're giving a ring to someone, it has to be the ring that was specifically designated to be given.
And so it takes on an identity?
Yeah, so sort of like you have to, so the same way that it has to be, like it has to be that specific kesef that you're trying to acquire with, the same way it has to be someone, you know, when you're trying to divorce her. So meaning that it is something that there's like a specific thing to that kesef.
Still a little hard to see that would be that would save you from the Kategoros and Agor issue when it's not something that is visible at all in the coin. So there are a number of suggestions in the Acharonim here. One draws upon a sugya that we've seen already, and one draws upon a sugya that we're going to see almost the next sugya after these sugyas. So it's coming up very soon. So it's just a good kind of link. So the Avnei Miluim invokes our old friend again, the topic of Kesef. Sorry? Well, yeah, basically that topic. Then where does the Avnei Miluim land on that issue? You recall? Right, what's the
that's
Shivui, right? So says the Avnei Miluim here also that there is a fundamental difference between the Kesef that would be used for Kedushin and the Kesef that theoretically would be used for Gerushin if there was such a thing. Because Kesef for Kedushin, according to him, is Kesef Shivui. Kesef for Gerushin, there's no svara for that. So, therefore, it's clear that there are different functionalities for the money, and therefore, it's ki'ilu, they were two different shtaros with different words on them. Which is interesting. It's especially interesting because you may recall, we also mentioned that some achronim make the exact opposite point. Right? They say that the fact that the Gemara has a Havamina that Kesef could have been used for Gerushin shows you that it's not Kesef Shivuk, right? And that was the point that we mentioned. So here the Avnei Miluim is taking it the other direction, that, oh, Takeda clearly can't be the same, and that's how we get saved from Kategoros and Agor issues, that it could have been a Havamina. Okay. But there's another suggestion, which is in some of the Achronim, and this is perhaps a little more compelling, I think. And this is a little bit of a preview of the sugya that's coming up almost next or very soon. And that has to do with what is the role of Amira in Kiddushin. right, then we know that something is said when the Kesef Kedushin is given over, Hariyat Mekudeshesli, and we know that it's not irrelevant or trivial. We know that there is significance, the right things have to be said, and the right things have to be said by the right party. And that's going to be the role of Amira in the Kedushin process, of what the Amira is, and who says the Amira is one of our upcoming sugyas. So, if that's the case, so maybe you could have said like that. Maybe you could have said that maybe this really taka is the crucial part of the process. So we'll look at the Amira by the Kedushin, and whatever Amira accompanies the Gerushin, and that'll be the same thing. Mile Dahai and Mile Dahai, that's the Havamina. And Maskana is that, no, it's not really the Amira that does it, it's really the Kesef that does it. So at the end of the day, you know, the Kesef is the same, that's not going to save us.
I feel like that Havamina is almost like what I was, not like I'm saying, but it has the same weakness as what I was saying.
Okay.
Because
you don't have to be so self-deprecating.
Like, yeah. compared to like the other things, like becoming gadol going in, becoming gadol's action. Like I would almost say that the Amira would be analogous to the action of going in and doing the avoda and the kadosh kedushin, and that even though that avoda is not a avoda zara, like of the Egel HaZahav, then it wouldn't, what's it called, that it should, then you, on that same logic, you should have the Havamina, and that wouldn't be Sadegri, no.
I hear your point, you're saying that if there is accompanying words,
yeah.
So then,
or action, or like,
and just to clarify, the reason you're rejecting this answer is because, in this answer, the Havamina and the Maskana is, that the Havamina was that since you have an accompanying formula of speech, so that should be like the Ksuba and the Shtar, like the Shtar Kedushin, so not the Ksuba, like the Shtar Kedushin, the Shtar Gerushin, that the both Shtar, but the language makes all the difference. So too, the language of Hariyat Mekudeshes, or Hariyat Megureshes, whatever it be, that should also make all the difference. That's the Havamina in the Gemara, according to this explanation. And the Maskana is, no, it's not the Amira that really does it, it's still the Kesef that does it. So bottom line, the Kesef still has a problem. So you're saying that even though this has an explanation for the Maskana, you're saying, no, the Maskana should be not that it's the Kesef that does it, but that whatever it is, that's not so different from what you're saying, that the Nachanami, so when that's the Maskana, second Maskana by the Kohen Gadol also, that
but it's
if there's a physical act, that
but it seems like it's not brought up though. Like
maybe it doesn't need to be brought up because there we don't have.
But doesn't that mean it's not a good Havamina?
I don't know. I mean, again, we're already struggling with how much weight to put on Havaminas. But one of my friends once commented that he stopped thinking about Havaminas when he saw the Gemara in Sota Daf Gimel, where the Gemara has a discussion about three mitzvos, whether they are chiyuvim or rishus. And the Gemara says, Yachal kol Torah kula nami rishus. You might have thought that the whole Torah is optional. So I'm like, okay, I give up. You know, so a question of how much weight to put in it. So, and that's part of what we're struggling with here, but I don't know how much you have to worry about the fact that a Havamina that's here isn't brought up in a different context. But okay, it's an interesting point. So those are just two comments that are embedded in our sugya specifically that I would like to mention. In the context of this whole kind of Kal v'Chomer that the sugya starts off with, right, Minayin Sha'af B'Shtar, the Dinu, that's the Kal v'Chomer, that Kesef Shein Motzi Machnes, so Shtar Shemotzi Enudin Shemachnes, this assumption that the Shtar is Kal v'Chomer, you know, that it should go that way. So you could have asked, well, how do you know that that's the Kal v'Chomer? Like the Gemara essentially says, let's go in the opposite direction. So the Ritva has a comment on this, which I put on the list yesterday. Right? So how the Ritva explains this, why the power of the Shtar is the one that we assume is the source of all power? Yeah, it's a fascinating usage of the phrase. Right? The Gemara has an idea, Koach dehetera adiv. And it's a question what that means. It's sometimes invoked out of context in ways that are a little tricky, But whether it means that we in general look towards kulas, whether it means that we always pasuk like the makel, you know, sometimes it's invoked in some questionable context. Sounds like it means that you need more authority to be makel than to be machmir, because it's always easy to be machmir misafek, you figure out what's lost, but one who's able to be makel, so that requires more confidence in one's position. So again, what does that mean? Koach de'atera adif. Are we just praising the authority that is able to be makel? Are we saying that there is a tzad, that one should be makel? It's a lot of fighting around what that phrase means. But what the Ritva seems to understand here is that here the shtar of a get is mater eshes ish. So that's a powerful shtar. That's a koach de'atera. So if that's something it can do, it should also, kal v'chomer, have the power to make the marriage in the first place. It's not such an obvious way of thinking, but that's also kind of embedded in this whole back and forth here. And the Rishonim also discuss, so just one final point to make before we go to the general issue, that why didn't the Gemara bring up chalitza? Right, why don't we say that if a chalitza can be matir yivam l'shur, so then let's say also that chalitza can be konen. So the Rishonim ask about that, and one of the answers that you find is just important to understanding what we see here, is that since chalitza is just an action, so some suggest that's the problem. You don't have the answer of Mili dahai shtar l'chod, mili dahai shtar l'chod. There isn't anything to differentiate. So therefore, you're left with the problem of katei garnasa sanegar. So according to that explanation, it means that katei garnasa sanegar is not just an issue that's being brought up here in the background, but that it is conclusive, at least for some purposes. And that's enough by itself to defeat a possible suggestion for something that could have been a Kenyan Kedusha. So with that, let's try to consider the question of where does Kategor Nasa Sanegor come from? And what exactly is its impact? So here I mentioned that Rav Asher Weiss does have an essay about this, his Sefer on Vodin, because it's a topic by Shofar, and there are a few other places where you can find essays about this. We'll mention a little bit more in a minute. But what do we know from Shas and Rishonim? You got to see some today on the Marmakomos list. You may be familiar with some others. So what do we know about how Kategor and Sanegor are invoked?
Where?
Yeah, where, what, how, dying?
Usually, something was either used for an avera or used for a negative thing, and now we're trying to use it for a positive thing. So one is the coming gadol going in on kippur with gold.
Okay.
We're worried about the egel on zav, so we don't want that, so it goes in off in white.
Okay, so the Gemara quotes that to explain how it is that the coming gadol wears white. And it uses that to explain another din, right?
Why shofar can't have gold.
Right, so shofar can't have gold, or why shofar, that actually comes up.
Can't be made of?
Well, it's shofar with gold is a question also that we're showing talk about why that maybe isn't an issue. Maybe it's a different issue for shofar, but the shofar should be of a ram, not a cow.
Yeah.
Right, because what is a cow? Cow is a big egel.
Yeah.
Right? Now, here we already get a little bit of mixed messages because, yes, a cow is a big egel, and in fact, Rashi, I didn't put this on the list, but Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Lukos, it says that Paraduma is good because it is a grown up egel and has that symbolism of cleaning up after the egel has up. So we have a little bit of mixed messages. Do we want to use our Averis as tools of tshuva and prayer or not? So that's one place where it comes up. It comes up in that context.
I saw somewhere else also that said Ampar Duma. The reason why it says a Lazar has to do it because Arum can't do it because that would be Kadegar as a Sanegar.
So you're getting a very mixed message.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. So the part itself, what's a bigger reminder of the Eagle Hazal? A cow? Or
Arum.
Right. So it's very striking about just how mixed messages we get here a little bit. Yes, Marty.
We already mentioned this maybe, but it could be an extension of Mesobabera.
Okay.
It might be a subset of
Now you're right. It could be an extension of Mesobabera in the sense that the Yerushalmi, first of all, the Yerushalmi in the context of Lulav basically says, invokes Kategor, Nasa, Senegor. And also, just to connect it to, at least from the Rishonim also on the Bavli, that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that talks about Shofar and about the big days of, so the Gemara has a back and forth over there, right? Because we do have gold in different mitzvos contexts. So the Gemara has to kind of limit it. And what klalim come out from the Gemara of when it applies, when it doesn't apply? Like Gemara Rosh Hashanah?
The
last one is that, right? That Lufnai Lufnim is a limitation. It does apply there.
When you're wearing it?
What does the Gemara say? That specific Gemara says Lanoi, if that's what you mean, that the idea that it's something that right, so that means to glorify. So something that is for beauty, maybe that's where we have such an issue. How could you beautify yourself with something that is evocative of an Avera? What else? The Gemara has one more. That something which is a korban or something which is meant Laratzos. So it sounds like you need all three of those things in order for it to be a psul of Kategor, Nasa, Sanegor. So Rishonim have to explain how Shofar fulfills all those three conditions. Because the Gemara says Shofar, because it's there to be Maratza, it's like Lufnai Lufnin, which makes maybe that also accounts for how it's kind of like a korban a little bit. But the Rishonim also have to say this got a beautiful sound to it, so that's how it's Lanoi. You have to kind of make it fit all the conditions. Now the point about mitzvah Bavi Aveira that Morty brings up, so in that sugya mitzvah Bavi Aveira, so two links one could make is that's the statement from the Rishalmi, which talks about Lulav HaGazol with the phrase Kategor Nasa Sanegor. And also the idea that the Rishonim have in Sukkah when they talk about Lulav HaGazol and they try to figure out when does Mitzvah Bavi Aveira apply and when does it not apply. So there you find in some of the Rishonim the idea that it applies Davka but something that's Baal Ratzel, something that's there to appease God. Specifically, that's where it's particularly incongruous that it should be a Mitzvah Bavi Aveira. So that qualification we find in both these contexts, which might also suggest that they're related ideas, that they have something in common. Where else do we find En Kategor Nasa Sanegor involved? Any other settings? Hi.
Well, there are two agadatos about
okay.
That. I don't know if that will philosophically
apply. No, but it's part of what we need to build the picture here. So what else?
The case with Noah, with Mabel, he had to take a... That Hashem had to take away a constellation, so to like make it rain or something. I forgot the exact context.
Okay.
And then he couldn't bring back the same stars. And then because Yecheskel is davening for the Jewish people and also invokes that.
And I thought you were going to mention also that the Rishonim and Shabbos, Daf Pezayin, talk about that the Gemara says. When they're referencing the luchos, the Torah says, "It's a luchos, Asher Shibarta." These luchos that you broke, say Chazal, "As Asher Shibarta, Yeshikayach Shibarta." Good move that you broke these luchos. So the Rishonim try to figure out how exactly Chazal saw this in the words. So God seems to be almost yelling at him, saying, "You better make new luchos now to replace these luchos that you broke." And Chazal read that as, "Yeah, good job breaking them." So how do you find that there's any endorsement there? So some of the Rishon Lefiritzvah says that the fact that these broken lufos are put in the Aron, where they're clearly playing some kind of prominent role, must be they symbolize something positive. It must be that they don't have any negative imagery that comes along with it, because of En Kategor Nasa Sanegor. There is also a reference in Tosfos, right? Tosfos and Yevamos. Right, where does Tosfos invoke this? In what context? So I know it was asked me this before because he had to go. Sorry? Yeah, Nesias Kapayim. And then we have it in, the Gemara has in the end of Masechet Brachos, that Kohen Shaharag Es HaNefesh Lo Yisa Es Kapav, that if a Kohen has killed someone, he shouldn't dochen. It's a big discussion what that means. You know, like, practically speaking, is that about murder, or is it even about, let's say, justifiable self-defense, war? Is it somewhere, what about somewhere in between? What if it was negligence? It wasn't an act of murder, but it wasn't justifiable either. So the post can have a lot to talk about what exactly the nature of this soul is practically. But there is this idea that a Kohen who has killed someone should not dochen. The Gemara in Brachos connects it to a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, Yideichem damim melayu, your hands are filled with blood, so such hands can't do nesias kapayim. So says Tosfos that that's also because in kategor nasa sanegor. So a couple of interesting points about that. So I was just asking me that why should we say that it's specifically there and not by other aspects of the avodah, which is Tosfos's point, but Tosfos doesn't explain it. And Tosfos says that this is an idea specifically by nesias kapayim and not by other aspects of kahuna. So one could suggest, to address this question, if we had more time to do a tangent within a tangent, it would develop this idea at greater length, but it's it'll get us way afield. But I think within Birchas Kohanim, you can see an idea specifically that Birchas Kohanim is all about a display of love for the Jewish people. So therefore, one could argue that the same kind of svara of any kategor, nasa sanegor, it doesn't make sense that this love can be displayed through the hands that were used to kill someone. And that maybe that's true even more so here than it would be true by other things. And to extend this point a little bit, it's just interesting also that there is a discussion in the Achronim of Nassim Gestetner has a tshuva about this, and his tshuva is Lahoris Nassim, and the Chelik Ches is in the Gimel. And Rav Osner also has a tshuva about this, and the tshuva is Shevet Halevi, where they ask, what about a Kohen who embarrasses people in public? Should we say that a Kohen is Malvim Nechaver Barabin, since the Gemara compares that to murder, should we say that that also should be a disqualification from Duchening? So they discuss this question with Nassim Gestetner and Rav Osner, and they both come to the conclusion that no, it doesn't disqualify from duchening because it's not a literal equation, it's not actual murder. And then with Gestetner, in his Shuvas Laharis Nassim, he goes on to say that even if it were literal, even if embarrassing people was exactly like murder, it still wouldn't be physical murder. And that's the whole point here, that your hands are bloody, that the physical murder makes the hands disqualified for a mitzvah of the hands. But embarrassing people, even were it to be 100% equal to murder, still would be physical murder, and therefore doesn't have this comparison. Now one could question, one could say, yeah, but maybe it involves speech. And Birchas Kohanim presumably involves speech too. Right? So why don't we say that the mouth that was used to kill somebody shouldn't be used as a mouth for Brechas Kohen? That's a question. You also find it in a few other contexts. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a din, which I also put on the list today, that if you have Sifrei Avodah Zarah that were claimed and you now want to flip them around for good things, you still shouldn't use them for Sidurim, because how can you make a Siddur for Tefillah out of Avodah Zarah? So the Shulchan Aruch first says that you should only use it if you've really perfectly erased all the words, you can't see anything anymore. And that brings the day that even then you shouldn't use it, because even then it's still too reminiscent of Avodah Zarah and has kategor nasas and egor problems. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this, where he discusses that this is a problem, and he says that in the context, he talks about Chilul Shabbos, and he says a siddur that was done through Chilul Shabbos is a big problem to use for tefillah, because if this act of Avera was done with it, particularly you want this to be a source of your tefillah, how could it be makobol as a tefillah? And he has a chiddush there that he says that your tefillah will not be received because it has this connection. And therefore, he says it's a pshia to offer a tefillah that you know is not going to be accepted. That's an act of negligence, like that's an independent avera. And then he goes on to add that the pshia, that this act of tefillah, you might say, well, but the tefillah doesn't really require a sitter, right? The tefillah is really bal peh, and you might need a sitter to remind you of the words. But the tefillah doesn't happen through the sitter. The tefillah happens through the words. So maybe that's as far as to be okay with it, and he rejects that. He says it still becomes an integral part of the tefillah process, and you can't say that you could separate out the Chilul Shabbos from the tefillah. Now here is an interesting point of, I don't know if you want to call this synergy, but it's a weird connection. And, or a coincidence, or whatever you want to call it. But so this tshuva of Rav Moshe is written to Rabbi Asher Anshul Krauss. So there is a sefer called Divrei Shalom. It's written by Rabbi Shalom Krauss. And he has a tshuva about really something else completely. And in the end, he quotes a vort about Ein Kategor Nasas Anegor, quoting his uncle, Rav Anshul Krauss. So I'm assuming that it's the same Rav Anshul Krauss that Rav Moshe was writing his tshuva to, although it maybe not be. And there's really no other relevance between this tshuva and this piece of the Divrei Shalom except for quoting or addressing Rav Anshul Krauss and talking about Ein Kategor Nasas Anegor. So I don't know if this Rav Krauss Sr. was particularly interested in the topic of Ein Kategor Nasas Anegor, and he came up in a lot of different conversations and shilas with different rabbanim, but in any event, it's a strange synergistic path here. But in the Sefer Divrei Shalom, so he quotes his uncle, Rav Krauss, as talking about our Gemara and saying, let's say somebody speaks Lashon Hara and then wants to do tshuva. So how's that supposed to work? Right? So tshuva is done b'peh, and the averus are done b'peh. Averus such as Lashon Hara, Nivul Peh, etc. So how could the tshuva work? So he turns to our Gemara for that, and he says, Hai milu l'chud, b'hai milu l'chud. But since the words are different, so that's what saves us from this kategor nasa, senegor issue. So yes, it's the same mouth, but the mouth is saying very different things. And that's what does it. But it could also be there's a difference in terms of tshuva itself. So there is also a discussion all the Rishonim have in the beginning of Shmini as to how it could be that Aaron is told to bring an egel. And there also you should have a prominent Ein Kategor Nasas Anegor issue. So they suggest, and see for Paris Yosef, he has a discussion about this, and suggests that we know the Gemara distinguishes between tshuva meyira and tshuva me'avla. The tshuva meyira, your slate gets wiped clean, your averus don't count against you. And tshuva me'avla is better than that. Tshuva me'avla, your averus are turned into mitzvos, nasanlok is obvious. So if tshuva me'avla is involved, maybe you could say that that outweighs kategor nasas anegor, because that has the effect that your averus are now mitzvot, so then taka you should use them. You should have them as a source of pride because they are propelling you forward. So the Paras Yosef in Shmini, he quotes this, and he adds, he says, that also could explain the idea that we have that when you take an esrog on Sukkot, And according to one opinion in the Gemara, the Esrog was the Chayit of the Eitz Hadas, right? It's three different opinions as to what the Eitz Hadas involved. We know that it wasn't an apple. We're not sure what it was, but it could have been a grape, or it could have been wheat, or it could have been an Esrog. So if it's an Esrog, isn't it strange that we use the Esrog on Sukkos? So he quotes explanations there that no, that again, the idea of Sukkos specifically is Tshuva Me'Ava. This is an idea that we find in the Sefer Musar, that Yom Kippur is a time of Tshuva Me'Ira, which could explain why we don't use the big days of on Yom Kippur. But Sukkos is a time of Tshuva Me'Ava, so there, and specifically the time of Achdus, which is part of Tshuva Me'Ava, you can make a whole nice brush about that, but that's the idea that Tshuva Me'Ava justifies using the bad symbol for something good. So the Maisa, what comes out from all this discussion? So, is Ein Kategor Nas Senegor, is it Din D'Oraisa, Din D'Rabbanan? So the Chida and others point out that if the Gemara uses it to learn that a shofar has to be a non-cow, sounds like it's a Din D'Na Torah, especially because the Gemara has another choice for the mucker. So if this is only D'Rabbanan, it's hard to believe it's going to work. So it's still a question where it applies, where it doesn't apply. And if the Gemara wants to use it from figuring this out from Big Day Zav to the psul of cow shofar, so there's also a question that could be raised, is that an issue of Darshina and Taim of Dekra, that we're now telling ourselves what this din means and using that for other things. So this is a point that Moshe Weiss discusses in his Sefer, and he has two approaches. He says, either you could say that we do allow Darshin and Taim of Dekra when the Svar is so powerful and so obvious, or that maybe the whole din really comes from the Svara, and Chazal were just attaching it to the din of the Big Days of on Yom Kippur. So now, as far as our sugi is concerned, so this really is a question that was asked yesterday and the day before in Seder about the role of the Tegas and Sanegor. So it seems like in some cases it is a din min haTorah, but it's a din min haTorah under certain specific circumstances because it comes from a svar, because it is a powerful logical point. And so, therefore, presumably in our Gemara, you could question whether it's playing a role of determining something min haTorah or not, but the context here is really in terms of guiding how a drasha develops. So we have a drasha, we don't know, should it be this direction, should it be that direction, should it have this scope, should it have that scope. So in that context, the Gemara is saying that Kategor Nasa Sanegor is a very strong logical observation, and therefore, if we want to know, just like the Gemara also says here, that in the context of Gerushin, we'll use a Miyut for Gerushin, and we'll keep certain logical directions as to where your Svara should be pointed. So since there is the strong Svara of Kategor Nasa Sanegor, and Kategor Nasa Sanegor, so that helps us to understand when we're not sure what the scope of the Svara should be, how it should be directed. All right, so I think that's a little bit of an overview of this topic, but also specifically how it helps for our sugya. So now we still want to get to the major machlokas lemaisa about the role of Kedusha Biyah. So God willing, we'll have to pick up on that next week. Again, tomorrow is a big Chumash day. So who wants to daven for us? Shaddai, you ready?